And so with that, let me welcome Sarah to come up, and we'll pray for her, if that's okay. Why don't a few of you want to stretch out your hand, and if you feel led, to pray for Sarah. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for Sarah and for her faith in stepping out. Will you give her the words and your spirit right now of your peace and patience and love and the authority today? In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me okay? Yeah. So today's reading is from Galatians 5, and we start with verse 1 and then 13 to 26. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbour as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, things like these. I'm warning you as I warned you before: those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. This is the word of the Lord, I think. Okay, so if we could have the PowerPoint now, Andrew, that would be really great. So if today goes well, I'm obviously Sarah. If it doesn't, I'm the curate, Reverend Adam Wingrove, so just to say. So I thought about these verses today, and I really think I've titled this talk about law or freedom. And then the subtitle in my head was, well, what's the best route to a better life today? And obviously heaven later on. But I wanted to ask a little pop quiz first before we get started. And it's all about the law. So if there are any lawyers out there, please don't answer these following questions. So if you can go to the next slide, please, Andrew. So I've got a few questions here, and I want you to tell me if you think these things are legal or not. Now, I've had a lot of conversations with my husband about driving in flip-flops. I don't know about the rest of you. Do we think in the UK today it is illegal to drive in flip-flops? Yes or no? Do you think it's illegal? So you'd be wrong. It might be ill-advised, but it is not illegal to drive in flip-flops. So I'm really sorry that Mike's not here today, because in our life group we had a bit of an argument about this on Thursday. Marrying your first cousin, is that legal or not? What do we think? You're absolutely right. Now, is it well advised is another question that I won't be going into today for genetic reasons, but marrying your first cousin is legal today. Now, I know you will all know there's lots of laws that are really arcane and old about the monarch, aren't they, and defacing the monarch. So, is it illegal to take a stamp of the king and turn it upside down? Is that illegal? It isn't, actually. It might not be very nice, but it isn't illegal. Finally, this is my last question for you. When you're driving and it's nighttime, if you've got the light on inside the car, obviously you can't see outside, can you? So is it illegal to drive with the interior car light on? What do you think? Ah, you're getting wise. It's not illegal. However, if the police stop you and tell you to turn the light off, what should you do? Yeah, that's right. Always do what the police say. So that's what I'm going to finish with. So that's what I want to talk today about, law and freedom. We're free to do all of those things. But should we? And I think that's a really good question. We go on to the next slide, please. So now what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to look at these wonderful fruits. And you had a much nicer slide earlier. I would have used that if I'd known. I want you to look at these fruits and I want you to pick out what you think your favourite one is. I know, Lisa, did you choose gentleness when we were talking? I think, or maybe patience you chose, yeah. So which one is your favourite? Any hands? Darren?
Joy.
That's a lovely one, isn't it? How about you, Erin? Joy, yeah, joy. So that's your favourite one. So what I want you to do now is I want you to get into twos. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to pick which of these fruits you think you need to work on, and I'd like you to make a little plan of how you're going to become a better person in your own strength, and then I'll come back at the end. No, of course I'm not going to ask you to do that. That's not what this Bible chapter is about. So let me tell you what it is about. If we go on to the next slide, please. So Paul, I think many of you will know Paul, and you will know that his big mission was to travel. And he took a lot of words out to people everywhere. And Galatia was a church that he had founded previously on his travels. And it's actually in today's northern Turkey, in a region that I don't know very well, called Anatolia. And Paul went out there and he set up churches. And what was happening in the early church was you had churches that were leaning towards the Jewish traditions and the Jewish faith. And then you had churches that had just been founded and they were Gentiles, a bit like you and I. And they were just living in the faith. They'd just discovered Jesus. And an argument was breaking out between them about whether you should become like the Jewish faith. i.e. should you get circumcised, should you eat shrimps and seafood, all of these rules of the law, or whether knowing that Jesus died for you and he rose again on the third day was enough to live in the faith. So this big argument was breaking out, and Paul wrote this letter to talk about the difference between the law and faith. And this is what the whole letter is about. And if I look back just before we get to this chapter 5, Paul had been talking about the difference between the law and faith alone, and he'd been relating it back to Abraham. And in the Jewish tradition, Abraham is sort of like the key prophet. And he talked about Hagar, who was the slave girl of Sarah, and he talked about Sarah as well. And he talked about the difference between slavery and freedom. So I don't know if any of you know, but Hagar bore a child to Abraham when Sarah couldn't have a baby. It's really not acceptable these days, but in those days she said, like, have my slave girl. And she bore Ishmael. And the idea is that they were born into slavery, but Sarah had a baby in her 90s through the promise of God, and this was freedom. So before we get to this chapter, Paul had been talking a lot about the difference between slavery and freedom, which I think is really, really helpful. And I did ask you, Adam, about, I always like to see what does this mean and look at the Old Testament. And actually, the Old Testament reading for this week was about Elijah. And it was about, he'd been telling everybody how bad they were, and he'd been arguing with, is it Hosea and Jezebel, and he got to the end of his strength. And he runs out to the desert to die, because he can't do it by himself anymore. And so I think that's a really fitting reading, because it is then when the Holy Spirit steps in to help him. So we go into the next slide, please, Andrew. Does anybody know who that is? Okay, yeah. So, and I wish I didn't, but my husband Damien is a great sporting fan. So at the moment, happening in Spain is the Vuelta de España, which is a really, really big cycling race, and it is just like the Tour de France. It's very, very competitive. And this guy is called Sepp Kuss, and he has always worked in his team. He's been what you call a domestique. Does anyone know what a domestique is? Yeah, unfortunately, I know that too. It is the riders that help the superstars to get over the line. So they do all the hard work. They drag you up mountains by going first, and then they leave the superstars to go first. So Sepp Kuss is a domestique, and there are two superstars. I might not even bore you with their names in that team. And he was always, for years and years, ridden for them. So what's unusual this week is that Sepp Kuss has been the leader in the race. And they got to the end of one of the stages, and he was about to win it. And then this guy called Roglic, who is the superstar, rather than supporting him to cross the line, actually took over him. And everybody was like, why did you do that? That's so cruel. This guy served you all of his life. And I wanted to talk about that. You know, you spoke really effectively about standing firm last week. And actually, we think standing firm is a passive thing. And actually, knowing how to stand firm today is a really complicated and confusing thing. Because then Roglic was interviewed, and he said, well, you know, he's in my team, and it's so great that he supports me, but I'm a sportsman, and my job is to win. My job, he didn't say cutthroat competition, but it is one of the sins listed in the Message version. And he said, that's my job. And my husband was very willing and excited to tell me about this. And I thought, it really goes to show us that standing firm in our faith today is really complicated. And as you said, Adam, last week, it is a really hard thing to do. It takes a lot of effort. There is a lot of wind coming. And I think we need to be really, really aware of that. So I really want to keep that idea in your head of how much hard work it takes to stay in the same place. But let's think about that hard work. If we go through this passage, the thing that really strikes me in the first verse is Paul talks to us about our freedom that we've been called to. And I wondered what we think about our freedom in Jesus. I'm going to be really honest and a bit vulnerable here. And I will tell you that my family, all of which are not here and many of which do not believe in Jesus, would say, well, it's not making you very happy, Sarah, so why should we believe? And they've said that to me many times in my life, and it is true. What do we do with this freedom? What does it mean to us? I think that's a really important question. And I think, even for us today, who would call ourselves Gentile Christians, the idea of laws and rules and regulations is easier, isn't it? I must eat shrimp, I mustn't do this, I must do this. In a way, it feels easier than the abundant freedom of walking in faith, isn't it? Because that's a really intimate relationship with God. And we were talking about this in our Bible group this week, weren't we? All of the things that we can do, like binge watch Virgin River or whatever I watched last night, romantic comedy, like go out. In this time that we live in, it is much, much easier for us to say, I'm a Christian and I must do this, this, and this, than to just sit and be with God. And that's what this passage is about. By being in our faith, by letting God speak to us, by abiding, there is a real much greater opportunity of us walking in his light than through doing it alone. And he goes on to say, if you bite and ravage each other, watch out. And I want you to think about every situation that we're all in every week. We've never been so divided politically. And I know all of you will look at me and think back to all of the things I said during Brexit. I am also a person who has been very divided politically. And we should think about that in the church as well. Think about our worst behaviours. You know, if we look at the debacle of attitudes to gay marriage and abortion in the church, I'm not here to talk to you about the issues, but let me ask you a question. What would Jesus do? Would he say, stop talking about that and get out there and feed people and love people? Or would he say, stay in here and argue amongst ourselves? Because I think we all know clearly what the answer to that would be, don't we? And if we go on to the next slide, please, Andrew. I thought, yeah, these These two phrases in the passage really simplify what we need to do. And I think that I'm really encouraged that in the gospel, you know, this is what Jesus said to us. He gave us two things. Love God, which I just spoke about, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and then love your brother as yourself. Because if we stop putting ourselves first, everything that's wrong will go right. So we won't have to have a checklist of, am I being kind today? Am I showing joy? Because by putting others first, the fruits will flow. I think that second picture is quite helpful as well, isn't it? That's us in the church arguing with each other, telling each other who's right, which I don't think is why Jesus wanted us to set up the church. And Paul talks a lot in this passage about walking in the Spirit. And actually, in the Old Testament passage, there's a little bit about that as well. Walking with the Holy Spirit, again, is difficult in these times because it's not a loud klaxon sound. I think many of you here that I've known for many years have experienced the Holy Spirit in many different ways, but it's often a whisper. You have to listen really carefully to hear it. And when I was preparing for this, I heard about, you know, a train pulling, you know, pulling the carriages along. So you need to listen really, really carefully to feel the Holy Spirit working inside you. And when we go on to talk about the sins, in all of the commentaries that have been created, they often talk about this as the evil things as opposed to the good things. And I don't really want to dwell on the evil things, because if we allow ourselves to move from that state of law to freedom, then I do think that then those fruits of the Holy Spirit will start to appear in us. And I wanted to talk a little bit, if we go on to the next slide, hopefully it is going to be the one. Yeah, that's a lovely, lovely picture of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk to you about what the characteristics of fruit are. You know, fruit is not grown by working. It grows by abiding and waiting. It's fragile. It reproduces itself. It's attractive. And it feeds you. So the difference between the law and freedom and to live in the Spirit, I think, is a little bit like these flowers. If we can go on to the last one, please. We've got a beautiful set of artificial flowers there, and then we've got some real ones. So artificial flowers, they're super convenient, aren't they? You can get them going, they last all weather, but the truth is that they gather dust, they get dirty. Real flowers, now, the petals will drop off and they do die, but if you find the right soil to put them in, they'll grow again. They have a beautiful perfume that attracts people. And they go on living and living. And I really think that that is a brilliant contrast to living by the law and living in the Spirit. Works of flesh, doing good, can be done by effort and hard work, but they will tire us. And let's be honest, we will run out in the end and we will stop doing those good things. But when we take that time to sit with God in prayer, to listen to the Spirit, and to love our neighbour as ourselves, we have a renewable source within us that will keep us going day after day, year after year, until that moment when we meet God. So I felt the only way that I could end today is to say, why don't we just sit now? Should we sit with the Holy Spirit and see what work it will do in all of us? So I'm going to go down and sit with the Holy Spirit.